SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
And I saw Lance Brozdowski actually just sent out his newsletter earlier today, and he pointed out that Pablo Lopez's fastball location has been a problem this season, especially against left-handed hitters. And so that's something that tells me he's off right now. And that's something that could be corrected. Throw that fastball more up in the zone, get those secondaries down in the zone. We know that he has tremendous secondaries and velocity has been up the past couple of years with the Minnesota Twins. I have lowered him in the rankings. He's right around SP20. Whereas for most of the season, I just had him inside my top 12. So I finally took the plunge in terms of lowering him, but I still think that he is probably the most clear buy low candidate in fantasy right now.
Yeah, I was going to reference the Brozdowski stuff because it's interesting, because what Lance very specifically said was pinpointing what he's doing against lefties. And by the way, his home run problem is pretty extravagant. 10 home runs he's given up to lefties this year. And what Lance dictates, and you can see in a tweet he did on this chart, was last year he was throwing the fastball in the upper outside corner, kind of like where you would want to do that. This year it's dead red middle, and this is against lefties, by the way. It is just dead center middle, right in the heat part of the zone where you would not want or a hitter would want a fastball.
I mean, it's funny too, Welch, because the batting average on the four seamer has gone down by almost 80 points from last season. It was 268 last year, 186 this year on his four seamer. So it's weird that it's getting hit. I guess everyone is waiting on the sweeper because the sweeper is getting mashed. It's getting hit at a 289 clip when it was 173 last season. And then that's, I think everybody's waiting on that. Maybe they're passing on the fastball, and that's why he's giving up the home runs probably on the fastball. He has 6, but 5 on the sweeper. He gave up 3 bombs on the sweeper all year last year. Kind of strange.
Yeah, well, I mean, the sweeper, it's still getting whiffs, but it from a batting average perspective, it's up, but the whiffs are down overall. But also the fastball, it's getting hit almost a full mile per hour harder, and that is just leaving it inside the zone. Pablo is he's kind of Kirby-esque. He's a very analytical guy, very like into his own stuff. Also a low walk player who has had some troubles with that. I think he's in the adjustment period. I'm in the most agreement ever. I understand what people are saying. This is such an easy play for me. For the people that are like, oh, I'm going to drop him, I got to do this. No, you don't. Just don't start him. Every person who analyzes and talks about baseball, because you also, anyone can go and look and see, oh, he has a 2-run differential between his actual ERA and his expected ERA. That's one of the biggest I recall in God knows how long. His strikeouts are down, but still solid, and he's walking less, and the stuff is still there. So he's going through a patch. So here's what you do. Don't start him. Don't like if you don't have the willpower, if you are such an addict that he's in your lineup and you have to start him, and then when you start him, he's not good, and then you have an absolute freak out. I'm going to cut him. I'm going to get rid of him. I would not. I would buy on. I'm in complete agreement here. I think he will fix this problem. I hope it's going to be kind of a pitch mix change. He's throwing the fastball more.
He's
this
really
year,
kind
by
of
the way.
Becoming a 2-pitch guy at this point. I think that hurts too.
No, I mean, not 18% really. Changeup, 11% curveball. But the problem is
but they
he's throwing
were,
the
more
sweeper less. But
year.
He's throwing the sweeper less because it's getting smacked, and his fastball is not as efficient because it's in the zone. Do something else. Like, let's go a little bit more heavy changeup. You know what? Maybe he needs to let go of the lack of strikeout thing and go more sinker. How many guys have we seen Hunter Brown fixed his problems by throwing that sinker more in the zone? Because guess what? As Lance points out, One of it's obvious, by the way, is his ground ball rate's lower because he's getting smashed and the ball's going up in the air. He's hitting more fly balls. So I think we need to watch for a an uptick in the sinker because it's down 3% from the last year. And that's just my thought is I think it's as simple as kind of going the Hunter Brown route, throw it more inside, maybe get it inside on lefty. So instead of giving them a fastball that they can put up in the air, give them a fastball they're going to hit into the dirt. And all of that stuff is just us talking out loud about it. He's just an easy buy. And I feel like Pablo's the thing that I see the most you guys tweet about right now, like you or Chris or something over the last 2 weeks, because I cannot imagine what you're dealing with the audience that you have on Pablo Lopez specifically, because I know he's a guy that you guys all believe in.
Yeah, he was, I think, universally ranked as a top 10 pitcher for each of us coming into the season. And I mean, everything was there. You look at the numbers from last year, the K minus walk and the ERA estimators, everything was there for him to perform like a top 10 pitcher, right? He is a guy that the ERA has been higher than his underlying numbers in the past. So maybe he's just one of those weird outlier guys, but still it shouldn't be like a 5.5 ERA. Maybe it's like a high threes ERA and you're disappointed with that. But I think better days are coming and one of the more clear buy lows right now.
Boggs, I'll let you do this because this was your big thing. You literally put this on our sheet the other day. You and I kind of talked about it, so I'll let you do the intro on this one.
Yeah, Frank, I just want to know, is Ronald Blanco just good? We talked about this on Monday. I feel like every analyst ever has been saying, well, you know, 30-year-old breakout, threw the no-hitter earlier, got suspended already. Like, a lot has happened in Ronald Blanco's career in the first 2.5 months of the season here. But he's just been good throughout all of it. And another performance on Sunday, a day earlier than he was supposed to pitch because Verlander got hurt. He goes out there and doesn't give up a hit again through 7 innings against the Tigers. So I'm going to keep asking this question. Is Ronald Blanco just good? And I feel like we're all waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it ain't. So is he just a good pitcher that we're kind of going to be able to rely on through the rest of the season?
Maybe.
That's the correct answer. Right.
He is a tough one to figure out, man. He threw those 7 no-hit innings last time out. He threw the no-hitter earlier in the season. He has not allowed more than 5 hits in a start this year, which is crazy to think
about. That's
nuts. His 164 batting average against is second lowest in all of baseball behind only Luis Gil. Looks like he has 3 legit pitches, the fastball, the slider, the changeup. Those latter two look especially great. The secondary pitches, I think an organizational thing coming in this year, the Astros look to throw their changeups more. We saw it with Christian Javier. Same thing with Ronald Blanco. And it looks like a really good changeup for him. Blanco's kind of the exact opposite of Pablo Lopez. If you trust the process, he is a pretty clear sell high. His 14.4% K minus walk rate ranks 47th among qualified starting pitchers. I don't care how many fly balls he gets. 184 BABIP, that is unsustainable. He's just not going to keep that all season long. His left on base percentage is 87%. That is much higher than league average, usually around 72%. And then the ERA estimators is a 4 XFIP, a 406 Sierra, 343 expected ERA. Maybe he finds a way to just continuing to defy the underlying numbers. There are a few pitchers like this every single year, and he seemingly is someone that has come out of nowhere. So maybe it's just what he's doing has caught the league by surprise, and it's going to take all season for them to figure him out. And maybe they just never do. Things like that happen. There are outlier seasons and performances like that. But based on if we are process oriented, then I think that this is a pretty clear sell high. And I think Ronald Blanco for Pablo Lopez just makes the most sense.
Oh my God. If you can get that done, do it every time.
You think anybody's crazy doing that?
Well,
how mad is your audience? How mad is anyone
that listens to this?
How mad are the CBS people?
You would be surprised how many questions we get like that all the time. I mean, there are some crazy leagues out there, some shallower formats. I think it's possible. Like, not in whatever industry leagues that we're in. Like, no, there's no way that's going to happen. But just your regular 10, 12 team home league, Joe Schmo, this, that. I think it's possible, man.
I'm in agreement with you guys. Like,
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey.
Out of annoyance, like you don't always want to look, and as you said, like you look at estimators and you don't want that to dictate everything of how you feel. I think that one of the main things is like Blanco's just gotten away with a lot of stuff. I'm open to him being like a good pitcher. Like some of this stuff is absurd. Like you're not giving up a lot of hits. He has a high chase rate, but he also has a pretty big contact. It's like zone contact rate of like 82%. That's a pretty big zone contact rate. So guys are like getting in on the pitches. They're just not doing a whole lot with it. He's not giving up crazy big hard hit numbers. He is getting some whiffs. As you said, he's got two legit whiff pitches to go with the fastball. I think it's a league that has not caught up. Maybe his pitches are having more deception that is going to kind of defy estimators, but he's still going to like adjust, and it's not going to adjust in the best way. I just think there's a nuance to this. When estimators tell us a different story, will said player completely implode, or will they just settle down and be maybe like, oh, there's a 6-run game. Whoops, there's a 5-run game. And then there's a really good one. That's what I think. I think he'll be like, he's not going to lose a rotation spot. I don't have expectations. He's going to completely become a pumpkin and fall all the way apart. But I don't think he's going to continue this route. I think there's going to be a bad game coming, and then everyone's going to kind of freak out. So again, if you are in that world where you're like, I got to get out. That's what I would look to do. Let's talk about some hitters. This has been one of my favorites as of recent, just seeing the success. And, you know, it's funny when you talked about the second year guys that are starting to pop. Well, the year 3 or 4 seems to be a little bit of a trend. I mean, I know he didn't work out necessarily, but he got better. But like Joe Adell, we saw Joe Adell make some really major strides. Barrel percentage was up. Hard hit percentage was up. And then all of a sudden, we're getting these like, it is year two, three. Maybe there's like a at bat type of thing, like into like 200 at bat type of guys that just haven't been getting up the opportunity. And said player is Helio Ramos, complete post hype sleeper type of player. All the sleepy, everyone was asleep. Everyone was done with Helio Ramos because nothing ever materialized. 2 straight years of a sub 200 batting average. He could never tap in to some of the big homers. He's always had really good bat speed. This year we found out that that's supremely in our face. 75.8 average mile per hour, which is one of the better ones in the league. But also the results have met really great estimators. You have a 315 average with 9 homers in just under 150 at bats this season that are supported by a double digit walk rate, one of the best hard hit rates in baseball, expected batting average, slug, wOBA that are supportive. And you've got an almost 18% barrel rate. It's a marriage of things that you love that's topped with really great bat speed, which is kind of like this new thing that has attached to maybe, you know, a higher ability to tap into hard hit rates and barrel. He's checking all the boxes. That's all that really matters here. How much do you buy the Helio Ramos? He's a must own. He's not owned everywhere, by the way. And I think he was one of the biggest players. If you had the opportunity to pick him up when you lost the Mookie Betts of the world, it's huge. But what do you think about Helio Ramos?
I am in. I am buying. I've moved him inside of my top 36 outfielders. So regardless if you play in a 3 outfielder league, 5 outfielder league, he needs to be rostered. He needs to be started. What also helps him is that outfield has been a disaster this season. So anytime we can get someone who makes an impact like this at that position, I think we have to jump at it. And he has just gone bonkers in June, 364 batting average, 7 homers, 1161 OPS. You mentioned the hard hit numbers are there, 94th percentile average exit velocity, 97th percentile barrel rate. The expected stats look really good here. He has the prospect pedigree. I know he kind of faded in some prospect rankings, but like early on in his career as a teenager, there was hype and then he kind of fell down. But you look at the past 2 years in the minors, it's a 953 OPS or better. He was mashing at AAA. gets his opportunity here and he ran with it. I think what also helps is the Giants don't really have a good offense. So they're going to give him a long leash to stick around. It's not like Luis Matos had like a 17 RBI game. And then like 2 weeks later, they sent him down. So I think there's a leash here. I think the underlying numbers are buying in. I will point out a few things. There are some sell high elements to his game. The ground ball rate is higher than I'd like to see for a quote unquote slugger. 50% ground ball rate. The strikeouts are high, 29% strikeout rate. Though he doesn't chase pitches and his zone contact is actually okay. So overall, there are some things that make you a little squeamish, the ground balls, the strikeouts, but the fact that he's hitting the ball as hard as he is and he's making impact at a position that's been really bad, I am in. I am buying Elly Ramos.
Boggs, there's two extra additions to the positive side. He's hitting 292 and 400 against lefties and righties. So he has no struggle there. And 359 with runners in scoring position so far this year. But on top of it, Jung Hoo Lee is out for the season to kind of pair with what Frank said. He's just not going anywhere right now. And he's just got the perfect package of so many of those analytical pieces that we want out of a hitter that it's like, I really think we're going to wake up from this season and the people that check out, you know, like in June, July or whatever, and it's all football and everything, they're going to be like, wait a minute. Why are we drafting Helio Ramos at 95 in 2025? Right. Like, how did this guy have 25 homers? Like, that's where I think we're headed.
100%, dude. And, you know, it is, I get to use the Tony Romo word here for the Giants. This team has become a meritocracy. Like, the offense is so bad that if you're hitting, you don't come out of the lineup. And that's, you know, a Bob Melvin is the mad scientist nonsense that we had to go through in Arizona, Mealy Mouth. It doesn't matter. If you're hitting, you're hitting for the Giants. And that's exactly what, and look at his average exit velocity over his three seasons in the bigs. It's raised every single season significantly. So it's obviously something, bat speed is something that he has been working on and it is coming to fruition in the bigs right now.
And he's got one of the, and he's got one of those shortened swings too, because what, you know, Eno had identified the way like 7.3, that would be like your marker. It's like seven. It's like, I mean, that's a short. So again, swing length, that's a shorter league point by 0.3 shorter swing length than MLB average. And it's over 4 miles per hour faster than league average. It's pretty impressive. Frank, Helio Ramos or Nick Gonzalez rest of the season?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's in this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Ooh.
Because there's another one. I didn't put Nick Gonzalez on this list today because we've talked about him. We've all talked about him. But same thing. Tapping into hard hit. Barrel rates are good. Getting the ball in the air again. He's the guy that when I think of beyond just like second year type of things, but he is a second year, but like, you know, he's been such a product and a prospect for so many years that failed. Helio Ramos and him are kind of these like, whoa, these guys really popped out when all was forgotten.
Yeah, I think I would take Ramos, but I really like both of them. And both of these players kind of lend itself to what we said earlier, right? It's like the second, third year player come up, fail a couple of times as a prospect, and you get an opportunity and now you're running with it. Nick Gonzalez has made great strides this season as well, lowering the strikeout rate, hitting the ball hard, not hitting the ball as hard. I think that's why I would take Ramos. He's on an elite level in terms of impacting the ball right now. I like both. I would lean slightly with Elliot Ramos.
I got a question here about Alec Bohm and some believability stuff. And look, Alec Bohm has been like in every single, you know, platform rank. He's very, very high because the batting average is crazy. He's hitting 305. You know, which is his highest average, obviously, since his rookie year when he was crazy, but 274 last year, 280 the year before that, 247 the year before that in his full season. So he's never been a 300 guy. He's hitting over 300 now, 60 RBI already, which has him fourth in the league. 97 is what he finished with last year, and he was 23rd. Buy or sell Alec Bohm in this lineup? He doesn't hate this place anymore. I can tell you that. He only has 7 homers, but buy him as a top 10 RBI man at the end of the season.
I am buying it. I think he gets up over 100 RBI. He's already got 60, as you mentioned. He consistently bats cleanup for the Phillies, a lineup that has scored the 3rd most runs in baseball. He makes a ton of contact. It's just a 14% strikeout rate. And the expected stats are awesome for Alec Bohm. 310 XBA, 493 XSlug. So, yes, I do think he'll remain top 10 in RBI. I think the batting average will remain very good as well. It's everything else that I'm kind of worried about because he's currently on pace for 73 runs scored. It's so weird, the disparity. I think he's on pace for 130 RBI, 73 runs scored. I don't care that you don't walk that much. I mean, you're batting in the middle of the Phillies lineup. You should be on pace for more than 73 runs. So that just feels like a weird statistical thing with Alec Bohm. I do think the run scored will come up. He's on pace for, you know, 15 home runs. I wouldn't expect much more than that. He's really good in points leagues because he's on pace for 57 doubles. So, you know, he doesn't have the over the fence power, but he's gap to gap. He's hitting those doubles. He's driving runs in. So something like a 300 batting average, 15-ish home runs, 80-plus runs, 100-plus RBI, and he'll chip in like 5 to 10 bags. It's not an elite player by any means, but that is a really, really valuable player in a season when offense has been down.
I was just going to ask a player debate here. Rest of the season, would you rather have Alec or Machado?
That's a good one. I'll pull it up because I just was wrestling with my third base rankings. I think I finally moved Machado down. I've seen enough. Yeah, I have Machado at 13. I have Alec Bohm at 9. So, yeah, wow. I have Alec Bohm. I'm taking him. I think part of it is I don't know if Machado's fully healthy. He's coming back from the elbow.
I agree with that. And,
you know, some of the Statcast numbers early in the season said bye, but those have kind of leveled out. I know he has the track record, and there's a chance that he just gets hot. But, man, this Padres team, this lineup, they just run so hot and cold. And I think part of that is because Machado's right in the middle of it. I don't know. Maybe he's a buy for next year, but I just think coming back from the surgery, we might not see like full on Manny Machado at any point this season.
You know, Bohm to me is funny. I feel like he would be one of the best players in like 1996. Like this is the type of player outside of like the balls flying. He'd have to, you know, take steroids and stuff to truly be there. But like, he's like a throwback player. I actually, dude, was it here, Boggs? Or was it on Leading Off where we did this like Alec Bohm debate and I took Bohm and it was either you or Joe was surprised that I had taken Bohm. Was that here?
Maybe not. I think that was on Leading Off, but I mean, you weren't a big Bohm guy at all going into the year. So the way he's performing, I think I might've been surprised. That could have been me. But
yeah. And really because it's like, you know, the RBIs are going to be solid. He's a solid guy across the board, but I will say this. I actually think we're going to get like a big Bohm month, not just from the RBI standpoint. Like he's trending in a really good direction. You want to obviously talk about like what he's doing, you know, with the RBIs and he's hitting 305, but he has improved his hard hit rate for 3 straight years, lowered his K rate 3 straight years, improved his launch angle every single year of his career, now up to a 12 degree.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
Attached with a barrel percentage, which has improved for 4 straight years up to around 8%. That's the type of stuff. And like, it's like a almost 46% hard hit rate. If you just want to be mathy about it, double digit barrel rate, 45% hard hit rate while getting the ball in the air, a double digit launch angle degree. Those are recipes for a guy who also hits the ball at a 300 pace. That is going to have a big month. Like I think there's like a 7 or 8 home run month coming this season. And I think he's going to push like 25 homers, 80 RBI, have some stupid RBI numbers. And we're going to kind of walk out of the season and be like, holy crap. How the hell did Alec Bohm become the third most valuable third baseman on the year? Great team context.
I think you also might've just said the funniest thing that you've ever said when you said, if you want to be mathy about it, I don't know why. I love that line.
Well, probably coming from me. Probably coming
out
of my mouth.
You want to be mathy about it. I just feel like, hey, you didn't leave enough for this bill. Well, if you want to be mathy about it, I guess I didn't.
It just sounds dumber coming out of my mouth. That's
No. It's I thought it was hilarious. I thought it sounded
great. Two more guys. You actually mentioned one of them. In admission, I talked about this on Leading Off today. In admission, was very dismissive of the shortstop position for the Boston Red Sox, and kind of making a case why Marcelo Mayer, who, by the way, Marcelo Mayer stealing more bases, hitting 300, hard hit rate way up in the minors, would be a benefit. Except David Hamilton has been really damn good. In June alone, I think he has 10 stolen bases, 19 on the year, four homers. He's hitting 284, which is really solid. But I don't know. I mean, launch angles, it looks good. And for guys like him, like, holy crap, you're five. Like, you worry about those guys that have like the 2% barrel rates. They're never going to have homers. But it's a guy that gets a ball in the air, doesn't hit it hard, but he is getting some barrels in there and steals the absolutely living crap out of bases. But I don't know if some of the expected stats really tell a true story. And I just don't know from a profile perspective. He's somebody I trust long term. But what say you on David Hamilton? He's a no brain. If you need stolen bases in some type of category, roto or head to head, you should pick him up out of pure speculation because of what he's doing. Level of trust? I'm skeptical, but what say you, Frank?
I am mostly buying here. The speed is absolutely legit. 52 plus steals each of his three seasons in the minors. He actually stole 70 back in 2022, 90th percentile sprint speed. So that is legit. No questions asked about the speed. I know he's a smaller guy. People might doubt the power. 12 homers in 2022, 17 home runs in the minors last year. So I don't think he's going to help in power by any means. I don't think he's going to be a zero either. It wouldn't surprise me if he can wind up with 10-ish home runs. The questions I mostly have are with the batting average. So he's hitting 284. The XBA is 249. It's a 251 career batting average in the minors. He also has a 26% strikeout rate. So something like that leads me to believe, okay, more of a 250 hitter, but that can have value. I think in a Ha-Sung Kim kind of way, like 250 batting average, 10-ish home runs, 30, 40 plus steals, something like that. I don't know if he's going to play every day against left-handed pitching because he does have some pretty bad splits against lefties so far in his career, but Ha-Sung Kim in a strong side platoon, yeah, I think that player has a lot of value, much more so for category leagues. In points leagues, you know, we need volume, we need players who are going to play every day. But yeah, any type of category league at all, I think we might be able to get like a Ha-Sung Kim light type of season.
I actually really like that comp that you put on there, because I remember in the offseason breaking down Ha-Sung Kim, one of the things I didn't like was like, I also kind of said it about Abrams a little bit, but when you were looking at their hitting profile, I would look at those guys and be like, they're maximizing every little ounce they can get out of themselves. And Ha-Sung Kim was one of those. He was using a low barrel rate, not great hard hit, with a solid launch angle and good contact. And all of a sudden he walked into, you know, whatever it was, 16, 17 home runs. Abrams did that to a degree, but there's just more power. That I think that's a really interesting comp. If you think he will keep going, he's overperforming against the more dramatic pitch type where it just is broken down as fastball, breaking, off speed. He's overperforming against every single pitch type with below average EVs from like a power perspective. What is interesting when you break down purely individual pitch types, he's really struggling against some of the big stuff like four seams and sliders, where he's overperformed against sinkers and he's overperformed against sinkers and cutters, hitting like 350 plus. So it'll be interesting to see how the league adjusts, but like those high end speed, I think Ha-Sung Kim, you know what? Hand up, he might be more valuable than Ha-Sung Kim with how Ha-Sung Kim has been playing at this point. So you're a buyer. Boggs, do you have any take on David Hamilton?
I mean, he's just been great. So like you said, that shortstop position for Boston was weird. Von Grissom, you know, was getting involved there too. So but Hamilton has been great. But I'm with Frank. When you look at everything here, like the batting average is the one thing where you're like, well, this is not holding up. He had 59 stolen bases last year. He had 70 the year before. Like, we know the speed is in there, obviously. But I think what was his highest, batting average in the minors? It was like 254 or something like that. So I expect a big regression in the average. But the speed is there. And again, a team that needs producers. So if you're producing, you stay in the lineup. So
Last one, Boggs.
Last one. Yeah, let's talk about his teammate here, Rafaela, Frankie. Rafaela is like the opposite. Everything you look at, you know, 3.7% walk rate over the K rate is high, 227.3%. But the average is still at 251. The BAPIP isn't crazy high. And these numbers, 8 homers, 10 stolen bases, 36 runs, 41 RBI is hitting in the middle of this lineup. He's playing pretty well. But when you go and look at his Savant page, it is Blue Man Group. I mean, there is a lot on here. It's not looking great. His batting average against fastballs this year is 228. His XBA is 204. He's mashing breaking balls right now, 309. His XBA there is 242, though. So it seems like we're going to get a fall off here. Is that what you're expecting from Rafaela, Frank?
I think long term this season, it is probably what I'm expecting from Rafaela. Pretty polarizing player, has tools for days, awful plate discipline. But over his last 27 games, he's batting 343, 4 homers, 17 runs, 18 RBI, 5 steals. And that coincides with a change that he made in his batting stance, where apparently he brought his hands down and he angled his bat upward a little bit. And clearly it's helped. Whatever he's done to change that batting stance, he's been great over the past month. He does have his issues. He does not hit the ball hard. It's lots of infield pop-ups. The expected stats look terrible. And the plate discipline is really bad. As I mentioned, it's second percentile chase rate, fifth percentile whiff rate. His 78% zone contact is below league average. It's not impossible to succeed with plate discipline that bad. We've seen Ezekiel Tovar do this exact thing this year, and he's actually had a great season. Overall, I'm intrigued. I think there are really good tools here. I think he's a player. You kind of ride the hot streak while it's happening right now, but based on how bad that plate discipline is, I think that pitchers are going to figure out a weakness. There's going to be adjustments, and there's probably going to be lots of peaks and valleys with plate discipline this bad. So he's a player you ride him now while he's hot, but like long term, I think there's those things are going to they're going to raise to the surface, and we're probably going to see him as more of a sell long term.
Is it safe to say you are Hamilton over Rafaela?
Yeah, I would. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Welsh, like, you know, Rafael is one of those guys that might just be a bottom line player. Like, look, the bottom line is he's hitting well and playing well. Maybe everything underlying is saying that the other shoe is going to drop at some point, but, you know, it's not yet. He's kind of struggled early. Like Frank said, changed the batting stance. Now he's hitting again. What are your thoughts on Rafaela moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Hamilton. I don't believe in guys like this that have the like, you know, eight homers is pretty dramatic for him. Low barrel rate, not good hard hit numbers that have these like really big launch angles. That's what Ha-Seong Kim did. Again, it was like, you know, low contact, low hard, but you get the ball in the freaking air and you optimize your ballpark. So you do a change in stance where you can more dramatically start to be able to get the ball up in the air.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
And in the middle of this lineup, he's playing pretty well. But when you go and look at his Savant page, it is Blue Man Group. I mean, there is a lot on here. It's not looking great. His batting average against fastballs this year is 228. His XBA is 204. He's mashing breaking balls right now, 309. His XBA there is 242, though. So it seems like we're going to get a fall off here. Is that what you're expecting from Rafaela, Frank?
I think long term this season, it is probably what I'm expecting from Rafaela. Pretty polarizing player, has tools for days, awful plate discipline. But over his last 27 games, he's batting 343, 4 homers, 17 runs, 18 RBI, 5 steals. And that coincides with a change that he made in his batting stance, where apparently he brought his hands down and he angled his bat upward a little bit. And clearly it's helped. Whatever he's done to change that batting stance, he's been great over the past month. He does have his issues. He does not hit the ball hard. It's lots of infield pop-ups. The expected stats look terrible. And the plate discipline is really bad. As I mentioned, it's second percentile chase rate, fifth percentile whiff rate. His 78% zone contact is below league average. It's not impossible to succeed with plate discipline that bad. We've seen Ezekiel Tovar do this exact thing this year, and he's actually had a great season. Overall, I'm intrigued. I think there are really good tools here. I think he's a player. You kind of ride the hot streak while it's happening right now, but based on how bad that plate discipline is, I think that pitchers are going to figure out a weakness. There's going to be adjustments, and there's probably going to be lots of peaks and valleys with plate discipline this bad. So he's a player you ride him now while he's hot, but like long term, I think there's those things are going to they're going to raise to the surface, and we're probably going to see him as more of a sell long term.
Is it safe to say you are Hamilton over Rafaela?
Yeah, I would. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to ask Welsh, like, you know, Rafael is one of those guys that might just be a bottom line player. Like, look, the bottom line is he's hitting well and playing well. Maybe everything underlying is saying that the other shoe is going to drop at some point, but, you know, it's not yet. He's kind of struggled early. Like Frank said, changed the batting stance. Now he's hitting again. What are your thoughts on Rafaela moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Hamilton. I don't believe in guys like this that have the like, you know, eight homers is pretty dramatic for him. Low barrel rate, not good hard hit numbers that have these like really big launch angles. That's what Ha-Seom Kim did. Again, it was like, you know, low contact, low hard, but you get the ball in the freaking air and you optimize your ballpark. So you do a change in stance where you can more dramatically start to be able to get the ball up in the air. You're going to have some stuff go your way. Maybe you're going to BABIP people. Maybe you just, you know, like I said, take advantage of your general ballpark, but the expected stats are not good at all. And he's kind of a primary pull hitter. As a matter of fact, outside of, it looks like two little bloopers literally on the line, he has only two other extra base hits opposite field. When you look at his chart, it is dead center. He just pushes a lot of singles actually opposite field, and everything pull side is extra base hit. So 223 expected batting average. I don't know. I think he's just going to be a bench type of player. I think him and Hamilton might be in the same trajectory. Just Hamilton's on the better side of it right now. And Rafael is kind of cool for multi-position eligibility, but I don't really buy it, even though he is on kind of a streak, a little streaky streak. Frank Stanfill, we buy Frank Stanfill. Roto underscore Frank. What's going down in the Fantasy Baseball Today world? You guys just broke down all of some rookies, right?
Yeah. I mean, we just had those rookie call-ups, as we mentioned earlier, Aroldis Martinez, Ben Rice. It's same old going on right now. We're in the middle of the season, so we've got a full-length podcast coming out every weekday. We have the five-minute podcast coming out Monday through Saturday. Saturday is a bonus prospect episode where we look at some of the prospects trending up, trending down, things like that. So, yeah, lots of content right now. Follow me on Twitter at Roto underscore Frank, and you can listen to Fantasy Baseball Today.
You excited about Garrett Cole today?
Oh,
we're recording this?
Yes, happy Garrett Cole Day.
Where did you put him in your ranks?
I have him at, I think, SP24. Does that sound right?
I'm Ron Burgundy. Yeah.
He's a tough one to rank, right? Because we just don't know. Like, this elbow thing could pop up at any.
Oh, no, not if you're the Welsh. Nope. No, no elbow problem.
It's more
problem?
Of a me and he's Joe fine. Thing. Joe is so anti him. Like, I'm almost doing it out of spite. I think I dropped Cole at like 12 already because I expect him to just go back in. I think he's going to just go back, do his thing. Maybe he takes a start or two a little bit low. Today, maybe it's like 85 pitches. I mean,
it's a tough matchup today against Baltimore.
People are listening. Yeah. They're going to know a little bit better. You could have gotten blasted or something like that. But I'm going to approach it from a good perspective. But I will say this is not a great sign. This literally just happened as we were finishing up here. You talk about pitchers that had injuries that then recovered, came in the season, were good, and then it fell apart. Kyle Bradish just underwent Tommy John surgery. So we just got that come out. So no bueno. And that goes one to the staff of these guys are going to get re-injured. But I'm a firm stand and roll with Garrett because you're gifted the talent of a top 10 SP. So I really don't care if you took him in the second round in drafts or you got him in the 12th round. I just don't see. I'm not going to probably be the one that's like, yeah, I need to trade off of Garrett Cole because whoever's buying is going to want a discount. I'd rather take. It's like the Luis Hill argument. I don't think any trade makes sense on the planet. I'd rather just keep getting what I can get out of the guy than try to be proactive in getting something so secondary that's just not worth it. But that's me.
Yeah, no, I think that's very well put. And it's conversations we've been having about guys like Gerrit Cole and Luis Gil and Garrett Crochet. It's what do you do, man? Garrett Crochet is
good one.
Top five in K-minus walk. He's top five in expected ERA. By all metrics, he's a top five pitcher in baseball this year. But how many innings is he actually going to throw? Is he going to remain on the White Sox for the rest of the season? If that's the case, probably makes sense for them to shut him down. If he gets traded to a contender, okay, maybe they push him a little bit and, you know, he just starts the rest of the way. But there's just so much up in the air for a lot of these pitchers right now. It makes them tougher to rank, but hey, get those bullets while you can. Garrett Crochet, Luis Gil, these guys look like two of the top 10, 15 best pitchers in baseball right now.
Gotta love it. Frank, Roto underscore Frank, follow him on the Twitters. Go check out the Fantasy Baseball Today. Thanks, brother, for coming and hanging with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
There you go. Thanks to Frank Stanfill for taking some time for us on the podcast. That is it. No voicemails. I don't think we had any. I didn't miss any, did I?
I don't think so. No, I don't think
we got Everybody any. Hates us? Yeah. Check.
I think.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, we just had those rookie call-ups, as we mentioned earlier, Aroldis Martinez, Ben Rice. It's same old going on right now. We're in the middle of the season, so we've got a full-length podcast coming out every weekday. We have the five-minute podcast coming out Monday through Saturday. Saturday is a bonus prospect episode where we look at some of the prospects trending up, trending down, things like that. So, yeah, lots of content right now. Follow me on Twitter at @Roto_Frank, and you can listen to Fantasy Baseball Today.
You excited about Gerrit Cole today?
Oh,
we're recording this.
Yes. Happy Gerrit Cole Day.
Where did you put him in your ranks?
I have him at, I think, SP24. Does that sound right?
I'm Ron Burgundy. No.
He's a tough one to rank, right? Because we just don't know. Like, this elbow thing could pop up at any.
Oh, no, not if you're the Welsh. Nope. No elbow problem.
It's more of a me and Joe thing. Joe is so anti him. Like, I'm almost doing it out of spite. I think I dropped Cole at like 12 already because I expect him to just go back in. I think he's going to just go back, do his thing. Maybe he takes a start or two with a little bit low today. Maybe it's like 85 pitches. I mean,
it's a tough matchup today against Baltimore.
People are listening. Yeah. They're going to know a little bit better. He could have gotten blasted or something like that. But I'm going to approach it from a good perspective, but I will say this is not a great sign. This literally just happened as we were finishing up here. You talk about pitchers that had injuries that then recovered, came in the season, were good, and then it fell apart. Kyle Bradish just underwent Tommy John surgery. So we just got that come out. So no bueno, and that goes one to the staff of these guys are going to get re-injured. But I'm a firm stand and roll with Gerrit because You're gifted the talent of a top 10 SP. So I really don't care if you took him in the second round in drafts or you got him in the 12th round. I just don't see. I'm not going to probably be the one that's like, yeah, I need to trade off of Gerrit Cole because whoever's buying is going to want a discount. I'd rather take. It's like the Luis Gil argument. I don't think any trade makes sense on the planet. I'd rather just keep getting what I can get out of the guy than try to be proactive in getting something so secondary that's just not worth it. But that's me.
Yeah, no, I think that's very well put. And it's conversations we've been having about guys like Gerrit Cole and Luis Gil and Garrett Crochet. It's what do you do, man? Garrett Crochet is
good one.
Top five in K-minus walk. He's top five in expected ERA. By all metrics, he's a top five pitcher in baseball this year. But how many innings is he actually going to throw? Is he going to remain on the White Sox for the rest of the season? If that's the case, probably makes sense for them to shut him down. If he gets traded to a contender, okay, maybe they push him a little bit and, you know, he just starts the rest of the way. But there's just so much up in the air for a lot of these pitchers right now. It makes them tougher to rank, but hey, get those bullets while you can. Garrett Crochet, Luis Gil, these guys look like two of the top 10, 15 best pitchers in baseball right now.
Gotta love it. Frank, Roto underscore Frank, follow him on the Twitters. Go check out the Fantasy Baseball Today. Thanks, brother, for coming and hanging with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
There you go. Thanks to Frank Stanfill for taking some time for us on the podcast. That is it. No voicemails. I don't think we had any. I didn't miss any, did I?
I don't think so. No, I, don't, I don't think we got
everybody hates us. Check.
I think people forget that we record these on Wednesdays. I think they're still thinking we're recording on Thursday. So I think we'll get a couple trickle in.
I'll gauge you. We'll gauge you on that. Let's see how many come in on Thursday. Let's see if we get two. I'm with you. We get zero. I win.
Okay.
Not that I win it. And my win is that I know people hate us. So that's all. That
yeah. Yeah. Here's your prize. More self-hatred.
Congratulations.
Oh, there you go.
That's going to do it for the episode. Back next week. We are almost at the All-Star game too.
I know, man, it's getting close. I think we can just throw in the towel on that trip, huh? So I think that's, you're going the next week. Joe is not going. My buddy's not coming in because he bought a house in the Key West. Like it's all not adding up. So
I hadn't, there was talk, about maybe me going out to the All-Star game, but you know, if we're being honest, pros is turning, there's a lot of football coverage that's out there and justifying getting out there plus taking 3 or 4 days. And like you said, I have like a family thing right before it. So,
oh no, we don't have to go to Dallas the year after the D-backs lost the championship to them. Oh no.
More than anything, it was also like, cause I could have got, you know, pros would want me to go out there. If I could have got a media pass for the game, I could have got flight, but then just like finding a place to stay. You're going to sleep on someone's couch or something like that. Yeah. Then you're paying all star weekend hotels. House.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I've had to have done. So yeah, I don't think I'm going to be doing that, bad boy, which is sad, but we're still here for you. We'll be back next week. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the podcast. Of course, you can check out Leading Off Monday through Friday, 12:30 PM Eastern. Joey and I are still, I still got Joe for a little while, you know, pretty much before the All-Star game, but I'm still sticking around. So make sure you are locked into that. We got some other cool offerings over there. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Is It The Welsh, at Bogman Sports. And that is all that we have, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you have a fantastic week. I hope all your players do amazing. Your leagues are winning.